Somewhere around 70,000 or so people die each and every year from an opioid-related overdose. Back in the early 2000s, the culprit was oxycodone, an opioid that most would probably recognize under the name of OxyContin. But in 2013 or so, it was fentanyl that overtook both OxyContin and heroin on the center stage in the opioid epidemic.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I'll have what she's having.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Have you heard what do you think about this GoFundMe? Because there was something I heard today about some celebrity who, I think she started a GoFundMe for her son, and there was this huge outcry on the internet. She's supposed to be a movie actor, you know, so there was this huge outcry on the internet, and the argument basically was that they said that it's like they don't want the celebrities taking over the GoFundMe spare, that it is for little people like us. I think she made a statement about something about the target is $10,000, and then we see people saying stuff like, how about she dips her hand inside her pocket and just pays the damn $10,000? Why are you coming into the little people's space? What do you think about that? I mean, doesn't she have a right to? I'm trying to understand people's anger, like, you know, as we always talk about.
I think most people have a feeling that resources are finite, and in that case, they will be wary of, you know, people who are perceived to have much, basically dipping their hands into the pockets of those who have little. I think that's just it, you know.
No, so she should have just stayed off the GoFundMe.
Well,
and dipped her hand in her pocket.
Maybe she didn't have enough.
She has a right to.
Everybody has a right to use GoFundMe. Actually, I mean, if Elon Musk wants to use GoFundMe, he can use it if he wants. But I think it's the perception around it. You know, most people assume that, you know, actors and all those people, celebrities, have everything all together, and they might not need extra funds. But we know these people a lot of time. They might be assets rich, but liquidity they're quite broke.
Who knows what happened? It's open to the internet. They have a right. I agree. Sometimes I ask myself, you know, when you see all these flare-ups on the internet, is it that people just follow a trend? They look at something and they think, oh, because everybody's complaining, I should just lend a voice, or, you know, are people just lacking in opinions? I mean, there could be a valid reason, but as far as I know, I think is it Alyssa Milano? This happened to an actress or musician, as I'm speaking to you right now. Yeah. Wow. And her son, being in a baseball team, you understand, wanted to raise $10,000 for him, you know, kind of, and it's something they do in their school or something like that, whereby, you know, they do it in their school. It's a school project. Of course, there are other moms that will be on the team. And then the internet starts crying out and saying, can she just dip her hand in her pocket and pay the $10,000? So people, I just
like, actually, in that case,
yeah,
I actually believe that that they should have just, you know, let it go. I think she just wanted to, you know, put lend her voice to the project to make it move quicker, because usually GoFundMe can take time.
You think she could have taken a step back and let the other moms who are, like, you know, basic, good old American blue collar job workers just go ahead and do the organization, you know? What do you
think? No, I think they wanted us to do it because it obviously would have gathered the attention it has gathered, you know, and people will be quicker to respond. But, you know, sometimes not all response is good. And the fact that she's a celeb, you know, just made everything worse. You know, you don't expect one celeb to just pay for everything. She might have been doing it in the past. Who knows? Yeah. And she was just like, you know, this time, let's get everybody involved. But, you know, it's the optics look somehow.
But lending her voice inside, of course, she will have very powerful celebrity friends.
Yeah.
Somebody could. I mean, what is she looking for? Let's just give her the $10,000 so that she can get off the internet. I'm just saying that, you know. Anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome to Real Talk Extra. Myself and Onyeka, we're just basically just, you know, just talking about some of the things we see happening around. But on today's episode, we are going to be talking about a movie that it's not going to be new to a lot of people. It's called Pain Hustlers. It is on Netflix and it stars Emily Blunt and one of my old time, you know, I like Andy Garcia. I think for some strange reason, I mean, for those of us who like, if you watch any of the Godfather series, and if you saw The Untouchables as well, I mean, I think he's an actor I have followed for a very, very long time. But like we always do on this show, Nyeka, what do you think about this? What is it trying to address, actually?
America has a huge issue, which is called the opioid crisis. And it's one of several movies, you know, that's come out recently on Netflix that, you know, trying to address it and, you know, highlight it and show people what has happened and what is, in a way, still happening. You know, there are a couple of movies. This is one. Mm-hmm. There's a movie that has Mia Hamm. Mia Hamm is, you know, the big Russian guy from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. There's Painkillers. You know, there are a couple of other movies.
Painkillers, was that a documentary or was that a...
No, it was
a TV show?
A TV show.
Okay.
Dramatization, yeah, a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw it, like, you know, if you're scrolling, you see it, but I didn't know that it was... I felt maybe it was a documentary and I felt, oh, there are truckloads of documentaries addressing this issue, so... So, I mean, it's like... But anyway, for anybody who has not seen this film, I mean, we tried the best we do. We are not actually, I don't know, going into too in-depth analysis of the movie. We're just going to briefly, you know, talk about some of the talking points of it and why a movie like this was made. And, you know, I think that was a Hulu show. A Hulu show addressing the same issues. It was like, it was a show. In fact, the name escapes me now, but it's pretty much on the same topic. Pain medications are a huge issue in America. And I don't know how it is outside this world, outside this part of the world. But I felt this issue of pain was... I started paying more attention to it. Like, for the time I have lived here, there are a lot of people in pain. People have back pain. People have hip pain. People have... And I'm wondering, like, you know, and they want a quick fix in terms of, you know, medicine that they can take that will just stop the pain, and then they continue, you know, taking it. The name of that movie was... The name of that TV show was Dope Sick. Yeah, it just came to mind now. Dope Sick pretty much addresses something similar to this because, you know, big pharmaceutical companies are profits over everything. But let me pose a question now. Let me pose a clear question. If the person who takes a gun, aims it at somebody's head, and pulls the trigger, and then the person is dead, and then this other person who literally just talked to the other person and said, take the gun, go point it to that person's head and shoot the person dead. Are these two people equally liable? Is one person more of a murderer than the other person?
I think one will be called an accessory to murder, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, let's address this word, the accessory to murder. And, but the accessory, he's not a murderer.
He's not the direct murderer. But, no, I don't think so.
No, but you know somebody was going to die.
Yeah, you know. So you're an accessory. But you're not the murderer.
But you wanted to kill somebody.
Yeah, you wanted to. So you there's a punishment for people like that.
So, you know, the reason I'm saying this is because, you see, now, this movie addresses an issue that makes me worried when I now go to my doctor's office. I mean, being serious now. Like, mm-hmm. If I go to my doctor's office now, I'm expecting that my doctor is going to, you know, he's going to make sure that, okay, if I'm telling him my leg is spinning me or my mm-hmm. leg hurts, I want to be sure that he is giving me medication that is addressing my problem and not a medication that was marketed to him by some sharp-looking woman, you know, with a sweet mouth, coming into his office and talking and telling him about this new wonder drug that will fix this problem. Because it's scary now. I mean, the question now is that, do I need to start looking at the background, doing background checks on my doctor to know what kind of person?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think we've gotten to a stage where everyone needs to, and it's everyone who is capable of doing so, needs to at least try to do some, you know, post research on medication that they're taking and see if there are alternative natural ways to you know, treat or handle certain issues, because it seems that some people have no scruples and are willing to do anything to make a buck. There's always that person who should know better that decides to turn a blind eye to things that they shouldn't do so. And it is worrying, as you say, because that's the people that you trust explicitly, you know. They say don't lie to your doctor, don't lie to your lawyer, don't lie to, I think, your pastor, I think.
Yeah. Well, so they have a laundry list. I didn't even know they had a laundry list of people you don't lie to.
You don't lie to these people because they know better, and you know, they need to know all the details and help you get out of whatever mess you're in. And we all know how important health is for people, especially the older you get, the more you need to be in good health, to be able to function properly, to achieve all the goals you need to achieve. So when you go and meet your doctor and you say, oh, doctor, I have this or this, and what can be done? And the doctor's like, okay, this is what you take to handle it. You know, that's not the time to start saying, are you sure, doctor? You know, you're in pain. You know, you have a problem and you want a solution to this problem. So going there or getting there, finding out that, okay, what this guy prescribed to you is actually making things worse. You know, it's a terrible thing to witness and hear about.
I mean, it is not the most fun thing. But you know, as far as this movie, I like, you know, it's been a while that I could settle down and look at a 2.5-hour movie straight. But I think the moment I started it, I was like, oh yeah, this is a topic that is closer to home to me. I mean, I need to know exactly what's going on. I mean, that's the same way I watched Dope Sick. But you see, this movie kind of like transitions in a similar manner like a movie like, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street, in a way. It only just, you know, centers around, you know, pharmaceutical companies. But you see, it addresses a lot of issues, because some of the things I found fascinating, I'm talking about, like, okay, a lot of people lie on their resume. because I mean, if you do remember, like, people coming to apply for the job and a dude wanting to hire, people lie on their resume. And it tells me that as far as things regarding, you know, medicine is concerned, there is no particular interest as per, do these people Are these people qualified? Do they know anything about this medicine? They're just selling it and they're going to doctor's offices. You know, so I'm thinking about, okay, you that have no medical experience, nothing, you come to my office as a doctor and you're telling me that this medicine is going to, you know, cure cancer and bring about world peace. And I'm like, okay, okay, what is the trajectory? But eventually, everything is traced down to, you know, a study. A study. And, you know, the fascinating thing is that, let's talk about studies for a second, because you see, sometimes,
exactly,
every time you see, every time you have conversations about everything, one light that this movie threw open to me clearly was that, it turned on this light, is that, when you talk about studies, of course, most of, I mean, I know about, as far as how studies go, and there are a lot of outliers in studies. But the problem is that, you know, when you're making those sharp pronouncements, like you see a TV commercial and they're just going to tell you that 99.9% of people have, you know, done it, but they're not telling you about the 99.9%. I mean, but all intents and purposes, and for anybody listening to this podcast right now, you know, we're talking about a study that was done on 200 people. First of all, these 200 people were going to die. They were already terminally ill. It was very, you know, it was very interesting how they left that huge part of it out of it. But all you, all they just tell you is that, hey, 99.9% of, you know, just 1% of people actually, you know, get addicted to it. And then you let these doctors prescribe. But, I mean, what do you think about these whole buzzwords? And how much time do you think lay people like us who read those kind of tabloids and look at those things will now have the time to start doing research?
Nobody has the time. That's the problem. Nobody has the time. I mean, if we had the time to do these things ourselves, I'm sure most people would be less sick than they are in the first place. It's a bit worrying, you know, because I can remember the COVID period, you know, the whole trust the science thing, and some of the things that people were opposed to at that time is only now coming out that, you know, the reaction to the whole COVID crisis might have been a bit over the top, and, you know, they're now finding out that they shouldn't have said some things in some places. And yes, they did this in these places, but, you know, the whole severity of things have changed, and that's only coming out now after, because more time has been given to the research. But, you know, science is so, to in want of a better word, jargony. You know, there's so much scientific jargon in science that the average person is going to see, you know, peptides and see so many words, and they're just like, you know what, I believe you, or I don't.
That's
believe
why
you.
They say trust the science.
And they just, you know, and they go with it. And then you end up finding out that somebody somewhere was just trying to, you know, maybe keep ensuring that they get tenure in one university somewhere.
I mean, this is not really about, I know we're not talking about COVID, because I know that COVID is a crazy political issue dividing people. But the point, I think the point is well taken. The point is well taken. The issue, the main thing that we are talking about here now is that, okay, they said you did a longitudinal study of this and that, and how many people? So so the thing is that it appears that these studies are buzzwords, but don't you think there needs to be some kind of like more disclosure when you talk about a study? You can't just say 1% of people were not addicted. And at the end of the day, another thing is that let's look at the ways and means. I'm looking at, for example, this thing they call speaker programs, where they fly these doctors to exotic places, you know, and just all in the name of trying to market them. At the end of the day, just to approve medications. I mean, it's like I need to start, you probably might need to start asking your doctor for it. Do a background check to know if he's corrupt. because if you can be corrupted, you will prescribe and mess up somebody's life. I mean, this film, I'm thinking of all the things that it is trying to say and convey. I cannot see any other thing it's trying to convey than for you to understand that maybe we should start looking up our own medications by ourselves and just wait until we get a validation from our doctors. If somebody with a sharp tongue just can walk into the office and his or her mission statement is just to sell medications. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and it's a competition. I mean, there was a company in that movie they called Praxton. Was it Praxion or something? They had something else that was
all fictional names, though.
Yeah, I mean, all fictional names, but you know, they didn't want to bring anybody into it. But it's based on a true story. It's no longer a hidden story because an article has been written on it. But you know, people want to argue. But the fact is that it's a real problem. I asked the question earlier. You remember when I asked the question earlier about a crisis of conscience? Because I noticed something about a dilemma in this movie whereby this lady is. She comes to a point where it looks like we're killing people. Understand that, yes, these people wanted to take the pain medications because of the way it made them feel. And some of these meds, they make them feel high at the end of the day, and they like the feeling. But they just wanted, to take, you know, medication. To feel, you know, cool with themselves. And I'm saying that at what point does somebody know? Are you saying the pharmaceutical companies do not know? The regulatory bodies have set parameters with which these medications can be prescribed. But you now choose to prescribe them for what they called off-label reasons. And that off-label reasons is... I mean, so that's why I asked you earlier, and you said, what was that? You said,
accessory
to murder. That's assistant murderer. Assistant murderer, yes. It's like the president of a country. If something happens to him, the vice president becomes the president. It's not the same.
Yep.
Is that a false equivalency?
No, it's not. I think in this case, it's even worse. Because it's almost genocide. The amount of people's lives that you're affecting, you know, it's one thing for somewhere to just, you know, affect one person's life, you know, negatively. Mm-hmm. But for you to do something on that scale, you know, something that's been sold nationwide, and you know that it has problems which could cause issues down the line, you know, after a while. And put it on the market regardless, just because you're concerned about your bottom line. It's bad.
It's not
a bad thing.
But it's not new. And sometimes it's not new.
But you know.
And sometimes I think
this person is sick already.
Yeah. The thing is, the regulatory bodies that's supposed to, you know, that's supposed to do. So I think in Nigeria you have the NDLEA. I think over here in America, is it NAFDAC? Yeah. NDLEA is National Law and Drug Enforcement Agency, right? Then NAFDAC is...
They're more like our DEA.
DEA, okay. Okay, well, the main thing is that, I mean, it's not that, I don't think it's not that they are doing less or they are doing more, but I think it's more of, you know, the people who control these things apparently are making a lot of money, and they are making more money. I mean, we see greed play a very strong element in the whole thing. And at the end of the day, you understand, it's like it's been happening, and a lot of people have not been held accountable in the past. And this whole drug thing, we can talk about it from now till tomorrow, but it's the same, and I don't know if it's going to change yet because there's still a whole lot more that is going on. Let us take a quick break. As soon as we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this movie. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for listening to Real Talk Extra. You can see a little more of what I talk about from the articles that we write on realtalkextra.com. We don't review movies per se, like a regular, you know, but we try to talk around the topics of the movie. Right now, we're talking about Pain Hustlers, and Pain Hustlers is a movie on Netflix, and it actually addresses the opioid crisis in America. It's not the first movie that has been done about the opioid crisis. There has been a lot. There has been a plethora of documentaries done on this topic. I think I had even seen a movie about pain medicine many years ago, not even in America, in Nigeria, and that addressed this topic. But you know, I think I understand it better now than I understood it then, because then I thought, okay, people are just popping pills. But I think I have a better understanding with regards to the business aspect of it. But let's talk about liability for a second. And I'm still, you know, I'm still going back to my example of the accessory versus... No, the reason I said that is this. Because you see, now, let's say... I mean, if we're talking about, let's say, I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, a lawyer will be able to give me more insights on sentencing guidelines. Mm-hmm. Because the thing now is that if I go and kill somebody directly, like just go shoot somebody, I'm a murderer. Now, somebody may not, I don't know if we're using the right example in this case, if we're talking about this movie, I don't know if we're using the right example in terms of, like, you know, killer for hire. This is like, you know, I'm selling products that people want. I can argue that I am creating a solution for their problems. You see what I'm saying? They wanted it, they bought into it. Somehow, but at the end of the day, I can act like I don't know that it's gonna kill them too, but there's a part of me too that knows that it's gonna kill them. And the reason I said that is because even at some point, as depicted in this movie, at some point when it was now clear that this thing was killing people, there were two different parties in this situation. One was still willing to continue selling this medicine, while the other person, now realizing it was killing people, started having a crisis of conscience. So, I mean, you see the dilemma here, because we know men, they can just say, hey, man, I don't care. It's killing people. Let's just sell it as far as they want to buy it. I mean, like, you know, like Nino Brown. He's not going to sell it to his mother. He's not going to sell it to his boy. He's not going to sell it to his sister. He's not going to sell it to his brother. He's going to sell it to his boy on the street. You know? So, look, for me, I'm like, I mean, look at the sentencing guidelines. I mean, you've seen the movie. Tell me now that if somebody else was directly responsible for those deaths, whether they will get the same thing. I mean, we're talking about white collar sentencing guidelines now.
Well, the thing is, as the profession, I think there's I don't know the law per se around it, but I do believe that the profession requires you to, you know, follow certain rules. And I think, given the severity of what the opioid crisis are usually supposed to handle, the drugs that cause the opioid crisis are usually supposed to handle, you know, things like cancer and cold. I don't think you're allowed to sell something that, in trying to solve one problem, you're creating another problem.
So that's a crime.
Now, I think that's on its own is a crime of some sorts. You know, okay, this person has a headache. And okay, to give this person a headache, you're going to give this person tummy pain. You know, I don't think you're allowed to sell products in that fashion, so to speak.
The regulatory body gave them the permission to sell the medication for cancer patients in pain, if I'm correct. I may have been missing something, but I think that's what I got. That is the that is the approval they actually got for cancer patients, right?
I believe so. But at the same time,
they started selling it off-label.
They sold it off-label, and I think they scattered around certain, certain rules, so to speak. You know, you're supposed to report all incidents of addiction and usage beyond certain amounts, and a lot of these people don't report everything, or they doctor the studies, the internal studies, they doctor the feedback, and so there's only so much that in America, for example, I think in America, the FDA, there's only so much the FDA can do in trying to regulate these things. So when they now find out that, your drug or your prescription has addictive qualities, they now take it further. But initially, most of the time, they do the background check and to ensure that, the thing passes.
What I'm getting is the drug was approved for cancer pain. Now, with cancer, selling it for cancer pain, that was terminal cancer. That was fair game for prescribing. Now, when you move from cancer and you want to start prescribing for headaches, for example, like somebody has a headache. Oh, headache is pain. I mean, you saw the film. You see where they're tapering it down and doing all the fanfare. You know what? I'll tell you something for free. And for anybody listening to this who even lived in America and has seen American television, there are three major things I first noticed if you watch American TV. The ads. If you're not seeing food, McDonald's, Wendy's, the big companies, which I love me some good a good burger. Understand? And then you see cars, insurance companies, and medicine, all kinds of drugs they put on your TV. And one of the most fascinating things I found out is that they advertise this medicine, and when they advertise this medicine, they tell you about the medicine, what it does, and then they in the same sentence or the next sentence, you're gonna hear stuff like, this medicine could cause you internal bleeding, it could cause you this, it could cause you that, it could do that. They used to say it fast, like so that it would squeeze into the time
very quickly.
I want to believe that maybe there was some legality or some regulation that must have come out in recent time that said, no, that thing, you cannot speed through that thing. You need to let the consumer know exactly what. Because there are some medications now that people are taking. Like, I don't know, this new one they call, is it Ozempic, that's making people lose weight and stuff like that. It's supposed to be, my understanding, it's supposed to be a drug that will help you. It's supposed to be, it's like a drug used to help you with your blood sugar if you're diabetic. But at the same time, an off-label use is that you will lose weight. But guess what? Everybody is using it for, more people are using it for the weight loss than they're using it for the diabetes. And then the insurance companies come along and say, hey, if you're using this thing for diabetes, then we can insure you. But if you're using it for weight loss, we're not going to pay your insurance. Go ahead and go buy yourself some Ozempic. you see what I mean? So the thing here is that it's a huge industry. They put out these ads there. They literally sell you. In fact, most of the ads will take it. Tell your, ask your doctor about. It's one of the key phrases in most of the ads. Ask your doctor about this medication, and so first and foremost, it's a business. I mean, it's a business. Let's not even talk about that. But let us know. I think maybe we digressed. I want to come back to the white collar crimes, as we saw in this, in this movie. Eventually, the culmination of the movie. And okay, we said at the end of the day, we're talking about months in prison. Finally, we're talking about, the highest there was about, 60-something months?
No, I think it was 10 years, 10 or yeah. 5.
Yeah.
I think the CEO of the company, because he there was a time that they could have regulated the way they were marketing. The problem was actually the way they were marketing the drug and how the drug was being prescribed. So the doctor that was prescribing the drug committed the crime by, you know, prescribing it for things that were not just cancer, you know, and going over the dosage limits. There was a certain amount you are supposed to take, you know, but when you prescribe things for the wrong reasons, you're obviously naturally going to go above the dosage limits. The second thing was there was a way they themselves could sell it to the doctors who were prescribing these things. You know, they weren't supposed to pay, because what they were doing, they were giving the doctors cash incentives to sell the drugs. You know, normally a doctor is just supposed to, oh, I heard that this drug works and my patient used this and it works, so I will prescribe this for you. But these people were giving the doctors cash incentives, meaning for everyone you sell, you make some money. So now the doctors are like, you know, okay, I have this thing that gives people, you know, takes away people's pain. And people want their pain to go away. And I can make money telling people to take this thing. So they decided to cash the check. And that was part, that was a huge part of the problem. In fact, the company that was their rival couldn't do what they were doing because they had just been docked for doing the same thing.
Mm. It's about punching numbers. It is, yes, first a business. I can't forget. You see, greed motivates. I can't forget the movie Anaconda, since we're talking about movies. I mean, I think, was it Hunt for the Kid or something? They wanted to go look for some miracle medication in the jungle. Under very dangerous conditions, they were going to find themselves in a deep jungle. And of course, I mean, should I be feeling sorry for you if you get bitten by big snake? But in order not to digress, I think I'll leave that one alone. But it's the same for me. It's the same, you know, it's the same greed that drives these companies to make profits, you know. And in a country that has designed its system around, you know, capitalism, which I'm not against. I mean, I'm not against it. But the thing is that, you know, the white collar angle of it, they have the wherewithal to wiggle out of any kind of liability that they find coming their way. So for me, this was one of the major stories where somebody was actually held accountable. I'm talking about the big wigs. I'm not talking about the little boys on the street distributing the dope. I'm talking about somebody who was making big decisions from the backyard, from the back. And, you know, they try to say, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just selling. I mean, somebody even called himself, I'm just an investor, trying to dissociate himself. Trying to totally dissociate. And this is the thing. So they know within their hearts that people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do anything about it. They're just going to sit back and watch this game. I mean, look at you. We're talking about, you know, very funny games. Funny games like you don't have an email. You have to print out your email. You have to use the pen and paper to sign. Come on. You know, so all these things are indicators that you actually know exactly what you're doing, because you know it's a bad thing. And that is the crisis of conscience that the main character of this story was having. When, I mean, she realized that, hey, people are actually dying because of this thing. So, I mean, for anybody if you really want to know about this thing, I will also recommend another movie they call Dope Sick. If you have not seen it, it's, is, I think it's one of these 8-part unlimited series or limited series, 8-part that, you know, has a beginning and end, which I love, by the way. Because at least I know that it has a destination, you know. And There's this other one. I think there's this other one. You talked about Painkillers. I haven't seen that one, but maybe
yes, Painkillers. I haven't seen it either. But the one I've seen is called Crisis. It's fictional, but it's called Crisis. It has Armie Hammer in the movie. It's, okay. You know, for anybody that doesn't know who Armie Hammer is, he's a guy from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. or what's the name of the film? Rebecca. Yeah. You know, so it has an inside. It's a more action version for people that, you know, need people to be shot and need car chasing. You know, it's a more action version that shows, that highlights just from all ends. You know, it shows illegal.
Just as an aside, I don't know whether where I'm getting. There are certain things I don't want. There are certain things that are becoming a shocker to me when I see it on TV. I mean, I feel like couple of years ago it was not the same. I mean, I could easily stomach it, but now I'm like, oh no, no, not exactly what I want to be seeing right now. I don't want to see all of this right now. So I'm like, no. I mean, I can stomach it, for example, like maybe if you say American Horror Stories, I have watched it over years. But I think it got less gory. I think for the most part, most horror movies these days are less gory. They are more of, you know, they try to tell you some kind of creepy stories, basically, with less. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think I'm entitled to it. But anyway, I think we're actually running out of time, Onyeka. But I will recommend this movie to be watched for anybody who is interested in a topic like this on Real Talk Extra. It's presently available on Netflix. It has Emily Blunt on it, Chris Evans, Catherine O'Hara, and Andy Garcia. These are the main people that are actually. So if I'm missing anybody in this movie, I am sorry. I don't think it's a big deal, because for me, it's not the movie, it is the story that is the main thing. Any last words, Onyeka?
Well, I think people should just take the health seriously, because there are some crazy doctors out there. You know, you never know when you meet the wrong person, you know, because I saw recently, you know, and, you know, just to add to the tale, I saw recently on an article, it happened quite recently, a doctor who had been misdiagnosing patients for cancer. You know, they didn't have cancer. They'll come in feeling sick, and he'll just say, you have cancer. And, you know, they'll start a whole new lifestyle based around the fact that they have, you know, terminal and malignant cancer, and a few people died in the process. You know, this guy did this for 45 years.
What? Yes. Where is this story from? Exactly.
You know, I'll try to post up a link. You know,
okay, and, please and post up a link, and please.
You know, so it's about a doctor called Farid Fata, and you know, he was in America, I think Michigan, if I'm not.
That's a true story, right?
A true story, yeah.
Okay.
So he was misdiagnosing cancer patients and misdiagnosing patients and telling them they had cancer. And a lot of people's lives change. You know, if you come into the doctor says, you have cancer. And you're like, okay, he's like, oh man, this is the show, so you have cancer. Then you start taking meds you shouldn't be taking. You know, you end up in this sort of situation where you're taking drugs just to take away pain that you shouldn't even be having, because mentally, you're in a state where you shouldn't be, you know. So, this is a doctor, you know, a renowned, qualified doctor. It's not like he was a hack. It's not like his degree was fake or anything. So, my advice to people is just, you know, be careful out there. Try and get a second opinion. You know, I don't want to bring the religious angle to it, but always try and get a second opinion.
Get a second
opinion. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes, you know, the medical bills are, you know, through the roof. But if you can get a second opinion, live healthy. You know, the older we get, the harder it is for us, our body, to handle certain things. So where you can, cut out things that, you know, your body tells you the truth. You know, if you take the wrong thing these days, you will know that you shouldn't have done this. Unless you're not paying attention.
These days, it will tell you faster.
It's easier to tell you faster. The reason why you're feeling like this is because you dragged that thing or you ate this thing.
Yeah.
So when you're younger, you can handle so many things that you're probably doing so much at the same time. Yeah. So you can't pinpoint where the problem came from. Absolutely. But now, these days, it's very easy for you to say, I know why I'm feeling like this. I shouldn't have had that extra bottle or this or that. So people should just be more careful. And as much, you know, I'm not trying to get doctors out of a job, but, you know,
they're not going to be out of a job. Don't worry about them.
Avoid having to get to a state where you fall into the hands of a terrible, terrible human being that poses as a doctor.
Okay, Ben. Nice one. I mean, this is an endless topic. We can always talk about it, even off camera and everything. Oh, but,
yeah,
Ben, I think we're out of time. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Like, we always write about it. Onyeka, you're always welcome to put up your opinion on Real Talk Extra. I am MC Edem, and this is Onyeka Onyekpe. We are out of here right now. We know they agree.
Love
it. We are.
We don't agree for anybody. Love our lights.